Okay, I want to make a distinction because I never did make a distinction, and people always thought I was talking about the same book. These are two entirely different books. So A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017 is completely different than just A Prophecy of the Future of America. In A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, I deal extensively with dollar amounts, economics, trade treaties, wealth, the decline in wealth of the middle class, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I explain it in a very simple, you know, anybody can read it and get it. So since 1960, I would say 1960 and even after that, the way it used to work in America was that the average guy, no matter what kind of job he had, let's say back then the average guy, or some of the average guys, they were car salesmen, okay? Or maybe they were salesmen at Sears, or any number of professions, okay? They may, in the 1960s and afterwards, for quite a few years afterwards, maybe until the 70s, they were able to earn enough money working as a salesman at Sears or a car salesman and many other types of jobs in that level, where they could afford to buy and then own their own home. Their wives didn't have to work unless they wanted to, and they lived good lifestyles as working class and middle class Americans, okay? Because the buying power, first of all, they were making, I remember talking to guys on car lots, you know, decades ago, who were making, back then, they were the goods car salesmen, but they were making $150,000. There were guys in selling stereos and TVs all over the U.S. who were making $75,000, $100,000, $125,000. And these were just like a little bit above average. But back then, their wives didn't have to work. They could buy their own home. They could take a vacation. But then the value of the dollar, essentially now by the time we're in, and this is a rough estimate, is worth more than, it's probably worth 60% less than it was in the 1960s. So now, to achieve the same standard of living, if it's possible, both the man and the woman have to work. And I have no problem. If a woman wants to work, she should be free to work. But now both the woman and the man both have to work, and they still don't make enough money combined to equal what one guy was making being a salesman at Sears.
And Paul, that's the assault. Forgive me for interrupting, but to me, this was the deliberate assault on the biblical nuclear family.
You got it. Absolutely, okay. You got it.
All right.
No, I'm glad you said that, because you can look at so many studies and so many reports of these globalists and these thinkers, and I quote all of these things in the various books, like The Day the Dollar Died also. They put down in bullet points their goals. And so number one is destroy Christianity. Number two is to destroy the Christian family unit. And they knew, see, feminism, look, nobody's against a woman having the freedoms to become everything she wants to be. If a woman wants to work, fine. Whatever a woman wants to do, that's fine. But she shouldn't have to be forced to do it. And so the reason that the secretive occult elite and globalists deliberately created the feminist movement, and by the way, it's not an accident that it was called the women's liberation movement, because whenever you hear the word liberation and movement, that's a communist term. The whole purpose of feminism, and Gloria Steinem, who is probably the most famous feminist in history, including Betty Friedan and others. She was the publisher of MS Magazine, and she was the most prominent feminist. She came out and admitted that she worked for the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, I'm going to say something to you, because this is very important, and it reflects my mindset. I am very, very skeptical. People may say, well, he doesn't sound skeptical. He's espousing these science fiction technology theories. Yeah, I am. But the only problem is I'm right, it's true, and I've done my homework. But I'm skeptical. So everything that we're talking about, at one time I didn't believe. I was skeptical. I was resistant. And so when I heard that, for example, that the feminist movement was raised up to destroy the family, I didn't believe that. It sounded like a bunch of John Birch Society propaganda. I didn't believe it. And then I heard somewhere on the radio that the Rockefeller Brothers Fund was deliberately funding women actresses and celebrities to act as role models and role model before all the other women in America because of their celebrity status, how great it is to be a single working woman, not married, to be sexually liberated, and to be free. And so the Rockefeller Brothers Fund deliberately wanted to promote the ideal to the average American woman that the best choice for them was to be a working woman, to be single, to be sexually active. Marriage was not important, and having children certainly wasn't important. And so they wanted to brand that into the mindset of American women. Now, I thought this is crazy talk. That was my reaction. This is some conspiratorial, you know, crazy nut job talk. I don't believe it. Well, so I go, back then there's no internet to research on, so I go to the local public library, and for those that remember what that was like, I went through the card catalog, just to see. I would never have ever thought that they had a volume from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. And I actually found an original volume published by the Rockefeller Fund themselves, not some secondhand copy. When I opened it, I rented it from the library, and it said everything that I just told you. How they were funding the promotion of television women stars, film female TV stars, and they wanted to promote the role of the happiest woman is the liberated woman who is single, sexually active, not married, and doesn't want to have children. And there in my own eyes, I see the Rockefeller Brothers Fund is spending a fortune infiltrating the entertainment industry using the entire mainstream media to promote this new vision of womanhood.
And in the 60s, the late 60s, Mary Tyler Moore Show,
yes.
Rhoda, I'm dating myself, all of those shows that celebrated working woman, but it was depicted as wholesome entertainment at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, and I'm sure you remember this, and many of your listeners remember this, because it's happening up to this date, any depiction on television sitcoms primarily, but movies, Archie Bunker, or All in the Family was probably the most famous one. The male authority figure in a nuclear family that is religious is a bigot, a buffoon, stupid, a racist, and kind of a pathetic moron. And it began with All in the Family, and even in the sitcoms today, you either see there's no strong, positive male role model, there's no positive family unit with a healthy male role model. The woman is always the head of the household because usually in the sitcoms, the man's incompetent of leading. And that is done on purpose because it erodes the authority of a male. And so they can continue on with their social conditioning because their end game is not that. Their end game is to obliterate and completely destroy marriage completely. I mean, just blow it apart. Now, we're several phases of psychological indoctrination later into the game. And again, it's all about repetition. So without having to explain it endlessly, you saw in the movies and in sitcoms, and I've noticed especially in what they call chick flicks, you know, romantic comedies, the level of sexuality, to me, is way above the level of sexuality than like in an adventure film. And the myth that is always shown in films and television is two strangers meet, and within 3 seconds, or a very close period of time, within 3 hours or 3 seconds or whatever, they're off to hop in bed with one another. They spend more time, you know, standing in Subway at a line to get a Subway sandwich to think about what they're going to order than they do hopping in bed with somebody. And then they always show an unrealistic, glamorized depiction of some kind of sexual activity, which is not necessarily explicit, but it conveys fireworks, romance, incredible fun. But then they always neglect to show the aftermath. Occasionally, you'll see in the comedies, the guy leaves early in the morning, he sneaks out. But you never see the unwanted pregnancies. You never see the depression of the girl or the guy who actually liked that person. But they're destroying, by making sex as commonplace as having a sandwich, they're destroying the family unit. And then through repetition, this becomes the norm. In the same way, alternative versions of sexuality are now being pumped at us, shoved in our face on every sitcom, every film, and the name of the game is through constant repetition, even though your conscious mind will reject it. If you see it enough repetitively, your subconscious mind will accept it and it will change your behavior.
Behavior modification and manipulation, yeah. is the goal. When we talk about not only the mechanisms of control, such as the TV and more importantly the news media and the lies that they continue to spout from the talking points of the elite, there's been a specific game plan. I believe since before the TV was even invented, they knew what was coming. They knew how to control it. They have perfected the social engineering, psychological warfare tactics that they use. And whether it was just this last election, I mean, obviously they've been laying the groundwork for decades and decades. But with this last election, it seemed to have triggered something in a lot of the establishment elite, both in the media and the world of politics and business. And they might see this as their opportunity to, you know, finally drive that nail in the American populace of division to the point of no return. And we're seeing that today, where there is, as we talked about, the 25%, 35% that believe these lies that the media is pushing wholeheartedly, just because their willingness to believe. There seems to be, I can't think in my mind of anything that will bring these two groups together to sit down and even be able to discuss the ideological differences. But what concerns me about all this is not so much of what we see today with the uptick in political violence and crazy rhetoric. It's what's going to happen next. What's going to happen when the next presidential election comes and you get a more progressive type leader, and say they get into power? That's going to embolden those people with this crazy mindset of it's their view or nothing at all. And if you don't believe them, then you're part of the problem. You're a hater, you're a racist. And that next leader, when we talked about in the past, the FEMA camps, And the different historical governments, I mean, all the top governments in history, from Babylon to Rome, have all, collapsed through, war and genocide. And I don't think America is going to be ever any different, considering that looking at throughout history, are now like the number one, government of all time, if you want to put us in that category, with the technological advances and everything else. But all these governments come crashing down. Have they been setting up, maybe not so much to get Trump and his agenda out now, but setting up something for the next time a Democrat or a progressive takes power, to be able to crush and exterminate that other political opposition once and for all?
Well, I think you're correct. That's their game plan. And when you read their exact quotes going back to the late 1800s, starting in the early 1900s, and, you know, I have the quotes in like Mass Awakening and the other books, you will be stunned to see how they knew in advance, leading globalists, thinkers, and one world government people, they planned in advance for racial conflict and racial wars. In fact, that was one of their playing cards that they expected to play because it was so easy. You cause different racial groups to have a tremendous animosity and you bring them into conflict. And then the Hegelian dialectic of creating two opposites for the purpose of bringing them to a middle ground, you have them fight each other, which is a manufactured crisis. And according to their spiritual template, because all of this stuff at the highest level always emanates from like Freemasonry or the Illuminati or Skull and Bones, et cetera, et cetera. At the highest level, they want crisis. And manufactured crisis is a Marxist term, but another substitute for crisis is chaos. And chaos is more of, that's the motto of the Freemasons, order out of chaos. Or you could say new world order out of chaos. So you create an environment where you have this like civil war in America based between these warring ideological and racial groups. They tried to do that in the election. Everything we saw was a trial run towards that. All of those riots in the various inner cities, and I'm not saying that there wasn't a legitimate reason for complaint when innocent African-American men were shot for no reason by the police. There's no excuse for that. But at the same time, there were cops that were shot and people that were shot that were innocent by individuals in the African-American community. But what happened is the media began to magnify it, distort it, replay it so many times that once again, they used television images, video replays to create this explosive emotional state of anger and violence, which we could call an emotional contagion. And then they spread it virally across the internet to certain demographic groups. So they were able to, for example, when anything would happen in any city, they were financed by billionaires. They had their organizational team on the ground there. And if you looked at the television images, these were white women in their 40s and 50s. These were trained radical activists who knew how to incite a demonstration. You had the people there because they were called there by social media. And you had them whipped into a frenzy because of the images and videos they were watching on social media. So this, there is a certain element that wants to destroy America by creating a civil war and this violent confrontation for the express purpose of the global elite stepping in, declaring martial law, a police state, UN troops or whatever. And what your listeners really need to understand is that if we allow an escalation of that nature, and if there's anybody who's a conservative or whatever who is participating in an escalation that would lead to a conflict of that nature, the only people that will lose are people like Christians, the remnant church, people who believe in the Constitution and patriotism. It is those people that will lose because it's a trap. It's cheese bait for conservatives and Christians to pull them into something that will only invite martial law and the kinds of horrors that you're talking about.
Very interesting. Paul, I'm still looking at this the Brzezinski book here, going through a number of different things as you talk, because it's covering a lot of ground. There's a lot of overlap to what's in this book and what you're laying out right now. And one of the chapters in Brzezinski's book in totalitarian dictatorships talks about propaganda and the mass monopoly of communications. And it talks about how there's a peculiar atmosphere of a totalitarian dictatorship that's created by two closely related phenomena, propaganda and terror. And they go on to say how the chief characteristics is the to intimidate, and governmental terror seeks to frighten those under its sway into conformity and obedience. Therefore, it may create a measure of consensus and willing cooperation. We see that today. And if we look at the terror under a different...
Let me just interrupt here and interject something here. And Paul, you mentioned it earlier. Mika Brzezinski, the daughter of the author of that book, is into the media. Look what she's doing, following the template that he pointed out. And if you want to continue on now with the terror aspect or wherever you were headed there.
Well, one of the things that I find very interesting when reading this book again is when we think of our own constitutional republic versus, you know, is it totalitarian? Many people say, no, this isn't a totalitarian system of government. But in many respects, it is. It's a soft totalitarianism. They just haven't, you know, put the boot down in order to force the citizens to, you know, follow their way of thinking, like we've seen with, you know, Hitler's Germany, where it started out as a constitutional system and then, you know, fell into, you know, the mass murdering of Jews in the Holocaust and the warmongering. But the tools of the totalitarianisms and the characteristics of their systems aligned so similarly to the U.S. system of government, which has become so far away from the actual republic and the constitution that it was established on. Unfortunately, they've been able to use our own system of laws to subvert our constitution. And a quote here, it talks about this. It says, modern totalitarianism has sought to facilitate its task by providing an ideological consensus that is manifest and symbolized in constitution and law, as it has been traditionally in the constitutional democracies of the West. And one thing that is just very striking here is basically from the Communist Manifesto to books like Brzezinski breaking down totalitarian dictatorships and rules to you know, the fascist agendas and the socialist agendas to the Tavistock Institute, to the New World Order, both religious and political, all have the same exact goals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just different ways of going about it, different means about accomplishing those goals, whether it's subversion or propaganda. And it's just sad, especially when we think of Trump as a person who wants to make America great again, who wants to restore the constitutional laws of the land to protect the citizens from the government. And he is being attacked as though, you know, as we just talked about today, such as being mentally unfit, being crazy, you know, being a dictator. And, you know, obviously none of those definitions fit with what they're trying to explain. But what I see here, and I didn't put much stock into this at first, especially with what my dad said about the trying to paint him as unfit, it seems like they've been grasping at straws for a long time. But this, to me, is such a far cry from the truth and such a desperate attempt to try, like a last gasp, to try to subvert and overthrow the Trump presidency. Do you see this leading to some sort of societal breakdown or civil war-type conflict if they were to successfully get Trump out of office?
Well, if they got Trump out of office, there would be some kind of civil war conflict.
Okay. And my other question is, do you believe that, not the United States set up under as a republic under the Constitution, but the United States we have today, allegedly under that same Constitution, do you see the similarities between the old dictatorships from communism to fascism that are more than not similar to America's form of government today or what we've become?
Yeah, I do. And let me say this, and I quote him a lot, extensively, because this particular author that most of you are familiar with, I write about him extensively in all my books, and I quote him because he probably is, in my opinion, the foremost authority of anybody in predicting this and knowing what was going to go on. And that's Aldous Huxley, who was the author of Brave New World. And he also wrote Heaven and Hell and The Doors of Perception. He came to the U.S. in Laurel Canyon up on Lookout Mountain, where I used to live, in 1936 to infiltrate Hollywood and to get them involved in the Dionysian satanic cult of ISIS and to use the psychedelic drug mescaline. And then he came back years later, and by then his novel Brave New World talks about a futuristic dictatorship built on genetic engineering and scientific mind control. But he began to talk a lot about effective scientific mind control. And I quote his entire remarks in my book, the first one, A Prophecy of the Future of America. And what he said to a convention of neuropsychiatrists at the University of Berkeley in 1961 was this. He said, in the truly effective scientific dictatorship, people will not even know that they're slaves. They'll actually think they're free. And then he said, in the truly effective scientific dictatorship, you can program men and women to actually love their slavery. And he was kind of rebuking the boots on the ground and militarized vehicles. Is that's like the Fred Flintstone way of accomplishing a dictatorship. If you create a scientific dictatorship and you do it effectively, the people have no idea that they're living under a dictatorship. They think they're free. They don't understand that they're slaves, and they are happy with their slavery. That's where America is moving, but unfortunately, I don't think, not that I'm for dictatorship, I think there's a lot of people in America, perhaps in our governmental structures, who are not as, they're not as smart as Huxley was, and so they'll go for the old-fashioned way of guns, bullets, and actual physical concentration camps. Only because they're stupid. I mean, if they really paid the price to know how to be effective totalitarians, they would choose Huxley's way.
But I think you just described, Paul, the mentality of the people who are marching that you mentioned before, the female, especially the female marchers and the emasculated men who back them. You just described that, who embrace that ideology.
Well, yeah, I noticed this. You know, I come out of the left. I demonstrated. I laugh. You know, I was debating on Fox and all that other stuff, and I would debate African-American activists who are African-American. And, I don't take prisoners on a debate on like Fox television. I wouldn't go on today on CNN because it's rigged. They just cut my mic, so I'm not going to waste my time. But, you know, I would take no prisoners. I wouldn't lose control, but believe me, if you debated me, you would probably be crawling out of the room. So this girl was playing the race card on me, okay, and trying to get leverage in the debate by playing the race card. And so then I just flat out told her my personal story of being made an honorary member of the Black Panther Party. She thought I was lying, but as I went on, it was obvious I wasn't lying. But she didn't have the first clue about the history of the Black Panthers and whatever. So these people are like these millennials in this generation. They're programmed, and they don't even have any depth to their programming. But I want to add something here. You talked about, Joe, you said one question regarding the totalitarianism. Do you remember what it was?
No, not off the top of my head.
All right, so I'll pick up on something. I would suggest to people to always think through their strategy and say to themselves, no matter what it is, if I say these words, or if I undertake these actions, or if I do this, or if I do that, take the time to play out the various consequences of what you're going to do. And that's like the beginning of wisdom, because if you're embarking on anything or saying something which is going to produce the opposite of what you want, then you're being stupid and you're being lazy, and you can't win the battle. You can't. The goal is not to just communicate. The goal is to be effective in the communication. So here I want to introduce a spiritual note to this entire thing. We have to, the advantage that we have, and it really is a huge advantage, we have the advantage that many of your listeners know that we don't live in a godless universe produced by humanistic evolution, random chance. We live in an universe where there exists an infinite personal living God of the universe. So we can't just treat that like, you know, some religious icon. We have to understand the reality of that, and then how to apply the reality of that into what I call, and I go into detail in this in my book that you can pre-order now, Conquering the Matrix. You know, I played around with the titles. I didn't like Escaping the Matrix. I didn't like all the other titles that I was thinking of, because it was like a victim mentality. I'm into conquering the matrix, not escaping the matrix. So we live in a matrix, and you brought it out excellently in the various things that you brought up. This illusory world, this artificial reality, this media programming. So we have an advantage, and that advantage I would call invisibility. Now, in the military, they use a term called full spectrum dominance. And the basic idea is that the goal of our military is to be dominant in every military theater or spectrum. So we're dominant on the seas, we're dominant in outer space, we're dominant in the ground, we're dominant in cyber warfare, psychological warfare. They call that full spectrum dominance. We're engaged in a conflict right now that is a battle for the heart and soul of mankind. If we fail to recognize that we are obligated, if we have any conscience at all, we're obligated to enter and engage in the greatest spiritual conflict for the hearts and minds of America since its founding. And the impact or the end game of this battle is going to affect the world for the next 10 years. And every one of us should be fully cognizant and recognize that fact. I'm going to say this very briefly. There were huge numbers of Christians and Catholics in Nazi Germany, but their faith was deprogrammed, so to speak, by the Frankfurt School Marxists, who deconstructed the Christians and the pastors' belief in their own Bible. So they indoctrinated them into believing Jesus Christ didn't resurrect from the dead, no miracles, no second coming. So basically, the elite brainwashed the Christians into practicing a powerless and non-real gospel. But isn't it interesting that simultaneously, during that exact same time period that the Christians were being castrated, the occult societies that put Hitler into power, like the Vril Society, Thule Society, and the other ones, they were teaching their disciples, their people, how to access supernatural power from another dimension, how to utilize this marriage of science and the power of the occult. So they weren't rejecting the supernatural. The occult secret societies that put Hitler into power were embracing the supernatural, but they deliberately neutered the Christians on purpose so it would be an unequal fight. Now, unfortunately, that same dynamic is occurring in America. Behind the scenes of many of these things that you mentioned, and I know that both of you guys are aware of it, are satanic secret societies, witchcraft, occult, the Illuminati, skull and bones, and all kinds of things. So there's a real demonic spiritual component that is part of every conflict you just named. But we have masses of Christians who are being indoctrinated to believe that their faith in Christ and the Bible is anemic, impotent, and doesn't work in the real world, and certainly you can't access supernatural power. But at the same time, the people involved in the occult or the Illuminati or whatever, they are teaching each other, they're developing and learning how to increase and increase and increase their access to raw supernatural power, and they're going to use it in a confrontation. Whatever confrontation comes will be more than psychological, it will be more than military, it will be more than economic, it will contain a supernatural dimension. So, back to full spectrum dominance. And I deal with this in the first book of Prophecy of the Future of America. And without naming his name, I told you that the probably the most authoritative expert in the field of psyops, who's a Satanist, who was very high up on the NSA, had read my material, and we had some private discussions, and I'll leave it at that. And he understood better than any Christian that I've met that the psyops is the most important part of a warfare, because if you can convince your enemy it's useless to fight and you are going to lose, you've won the battle before it started. That psychological operation is being embedded in the consciousness of people who are patriotic, who love America, who love the Constitution, people who are Christians, etc., etc. Subconsciously, they're being embedded with the lie through psychological warfare that it's useless to take a stand to try to make a difference. And the most clever ploy of all is to wrap that fatalistic belief, to wrap it in theological terms and different perspectives on Bible prophecy. So, back to full spectrum dominance. The key is for any military to dominate every area in the battlefield. But you see, we have as an asset the asset of invisibility. Because of the deeply ingrained bias and prejudice and rejection of the very idea, the very belief, or the very notion that a God of the Bible actually exists, that Jesus Christ really did resurrect in history, and that there are angelic armies of God, and at a certain point, this one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system that the globalists want is simply a replay of what happened in Genesis 11, and that in the final analysis, Jesus Christ is going to return to planet Earth in a military fashion, riding a white horse. He's going to descend from another dimension, the kingdom of heaven, and he's going to descend with the armies of heaven and very quickly destroy this entire Antichrist structure at the War of Armageddon. Okay? Our job, if we interpret the Bible correctly, is to occupy the land, and God has given us the land of America, until he comes. Now, God did not give us the commandment to occupy the land of America until he comes, unless God already knew that he gave us a power of such a high level that we would be able to fulfill that commandment and truly occupy the land. So we need to recognize that God or Jesus, wouldn't have told us to occupy the land if he had not already given us the power to do it. So we already have the power to occupy the land. Now, back to the invisibility factor. We're fighting various enemies. But because of their bias, their prejudice, their humanistic beliefs, their atheism, their mockery of Christianity, etc., they truly cannot see the reality of the infinite personal living God of the universe and how God can be called upon to send his angelic armies into the earth. They think that's like, you know, the Wizard of Oz story. They can't possibly believe that's true. Okay? And so because it is impossible for them to believe that Christ is literally returning with the armies of heaven to defeat the Antichrist, and because it is impossible for them to believe, because of their prejudice and bias, that God answers prayer, they are blinded from the most powerful reality of all, which is the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, can be called on. His people can call upon God at this very moment. And if we call upon God in the proper way, which involves repentance and being very serious and exercising faith as we call upon God, God will send his angelic armies from heaven into the United States. He will send his power into the United States. He will shore up our current president supernaturally. And the tide of the spiritual battle will change. Despite the fact that they have all the money, all the technology, all the control, and all the power is irrelevant. Because the one asset we have that they don't believe in, and that's why it's a great asset to have, your enemy doesn't believe that you have it, but we have it. The asset that we have is that we are in communication with the supreme being of the universe, who in his totality is more intelligent, more powerful than everything they have put together, including their god, Lucifer. So all we have to do to release this power is to simply have that childlike faith and believe God. See, the way you access the spiritual power is you believe God in faith, even if it's at the level of a mustard seed. Now, if we do that, and that's why I wrote the book Conquering the Matrix, the way to conquer the Matrix, this illusion reality, the way to win the spiritual battle that you talked about, Joe, and Doug, you talked about, and the various things that could happen in the future, the way to win is not to be tempted to use the weapons they're using. We need to be aware of their weapons. We need to be physically involved. We need to engage culturally. We need to engage with the media, like with your program and others. We need to engage in communications, social media, television, radio. That's essential that we engage in alternative media communications. But our primary asset, where we have full spectrum dominance, the military theater that's most important on planet Earth right now is not the other military theaters. The military theater of the ocean and the seas and cyber warfare and nuclear warfare and ground troops and all these other things, those are very important military theaters. But combined, they don't even come close to the military theater that people don't believe exists. So it's invisible to them. That's our asset. And that is the military theater that has not only, it's a military theater, but it gives us the ultimate full spectrum dominance over every other military theater. And that is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the real ability to call upon his name, and the valid and real expectation that when we call upon his name, he will send his angelic armies and his power into the earth, and he will clothe his people with power from on high. When we access that with faith, at that moment, and that could happen today, tonight, it can happen when a gun is pointed to your head. That's up to the collective decision of your audience. The moment you do that, the moment you connect with God by faith, you change the direction of the battle. And for a temporal season, because we can't undo Bible prophecy, for a temporal season, God will grant us a long enough reprieve to drive back the powers of darkness, to reinforce and shore up our president, because God has a special plan for America that began with the Pilgrims and Puritans. America was called by God to preach the gospel into the world and to participate in the last day's soul harvest. I believe in American exceptionalism. That's not vanity. That's true. America is an exceptional nation called by God for a special purpose in the last days. Now, I'm going to be very succinct. The special purpose that God has called America for and to in the last days has not been fulfilled by his people. Therefore, we haven't finished the mission. Therefore, everything's like in a holding pattern. When we choose, this comes down to individual response. You know, it's great to talk about the world. It's great to talk about these global things. But what this comes down to is what every person listening to your program is going to do when at this moment they are confronted in their heart, mind, and soul, that they know without the shadow of a doubt that at this precise second they are being confronted with the Spirit of the living God, and he is asking them individually to make a choice, because he won't force them. And he's asking them, and they know it, they can feel it. The only people who don't know it and can't feel it are those who are proud or going to erect some kind of psychological defense mechanism. Anybody who has any integrity or honesty knows that the Spirit of God is touching them right now and requiring a decision. And the request that God has made is, I called you before the foundation of the world to be here for such a time as this. That means here in America. For such a time as this. For this spiritual battle. And I've already equipped you before the beginning of time with the talents, the gifts, and abilities to do your part in this spiritual battle. And the Lord is simply asking each person listening, are you willing to surrender your will to the will of God? Are you willing to stop playing around and actually enlist in an oath before God? You know, people make pacts and oaths with Satan all the time. Are you willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ? And are you willing, by an act of your will, to allow God's Spirit to fill you with his power and wisdom and grace to such an extent that you no longer will live the rest of your life as a mortal man or a mortal woman? You will discover that if you submit to the request of God, you will receive the power and wisdom you need to accomplish the warfare spiritually that he's calling you to accomplish. Look, I don't know how else to say it. God has called America from the beginning of time for a special mission. I don't care what the communists and the globalists say, trying to reduce America into nothing. America is unique because of its constitution, its Bill of Rights, and all kinds of things. America is necessary in the plan of God for at least the temporal future. And we are being asked by God to be a light of the nations. You look at France and Germany and Europe. They're being overrun deliberately because of the plans of the globalists. Judeo-Christian society is being smashed into pieces by the hammer of forced migration and the forced entrance of militant Islamic extremists designed to be a Trojan horse by the globalists themselves to take down Judeo-Christian civilization. And in the ashes of the chaos and the violence that they are hoping will erupt, they will erect a dictatorship through the European Union that makes Adolf Hitler's dictatorship look like a Sunday school. So we are at an historic hour. There's no more games left to play. we are at the most important moment in history. At some time in the future, Christ is returning. But we don't have to worry about that. Christ is quite capable of getting here on time all by himself. The question is, are each one of us willing to make that radical choice and quit playing games and, you know, all the rest of the stuff and get down to business? You know, the other translation of Jesus Christ's command of occupy until I come, the other interpretation is do business until I come. Jesus meant do kingdom business until he comes. What is that? That means, what is the business of Jesus? Winning souls, preserving freedom, rescuing sex slaves, preserving righteousness and truth in America, shoring up our constitutional liberties, not allowing the evil one or a globalist elite or a George Soros to by default seize the land. Do you think for a moment that God is intimidated by George Soros? George Soros is a nanosecond away from a stroke or an aneurysm in the brain. I mean, he is living in a delusion because, in his own words, he called himself a god. He may be a formidable adversary to us as human beings, but he's an ant in the eyes of God. We need to stop being afraid of this person and that person and this organization and remember who we serve and then be willing to go to battle in a law-abiding, peaceful manner, never seduced by violence and extremism. But we need to be ready to go to battle like David did. David went against a giant that was physically impossible for him to defeat. But he conquered that giant because he didn't go against it in his own strength, but in the power of the Lord. That choice is being given tonight to every single listener in your program, and God is going to hold responsible every single listener of your program, which is vast, for the outcome of their decision.
This is one of the most important and timely messages, I think, ladies and gentlemen, you can ever hear. I think this, I just want to say lastly, okay, this to me, what you just said, Paul, you okay?
I was coughing and I said that as it came out.
Yeah, you should have heard on this end. No, in all seriousness, and sobriety and, well, seriousness. To me, this is the most important message I think that we or that this platform can give to our listeners. We have a job to do. Paul, you said it, and we are to be about his business. And, we can't afford to be curled up in a fetal position somewhere. We may face formidable, carnal enemies, but we know we have the power of God behind us if we are on the side of God, and that's important, obviously. Thank you. I mean, this puts current events in this spiritual perspective.
Man. Yeah, and I'm thankful for that because, you know, there's a lot of people who do excellent work in communicating information and stuff that we all need to hear. But unless you really have a grasp and an understanding of the spiritual dimension from a biblical perspective, you're always going to come up short. You don't have the total answer. So, you know, I just hope this encourages people, and I really hope that people will voluntarily spread this message, spread the links of your program, because this is kind of like an education that millions of people need to hear. And the more people that are awakened to the truth, the more powerful the force that can be generated for out of love and truth and righteousness.
You're exactly right. And Ben, just one last thing on the totalitarian ideology. This is, again, from Brzezinski's book, where it talks about how the what their real true purpose is to destroy current society and reconstruct it for the purposes of manipulating mass society into becoming a new man. And what I said earlier is that the second part from the Tavistock Institute says that these methods are to tear out man's innermost soul and the replacement of that vacant space with an artificial synthetic pseudo soul. So yeah. This is spiritual. That is the most important aspect of this, is the spirituality of this. They want to create a man who is void of any real spirituality and take away the faith and belief in Jesus Christ away from those people who still have it, whether they can do it through brainwashing, manipulation, or whether they'll have to do it through oppression and persecution. And it's going to happen, but this is a Luciferian plan of the New World Order satanic elite carrying it out here on Earth for the total purposes of destroying all political establishments, even America as the successful one, in order to take all hope away from any political movement, to usher in, you know, the times of the Antichrist for the man who will offer all the solutions, and we will be taken away from any type of political ideology for a Antichrist religious system. And we are living day by day, it gets worse, in this period where they are fomenting this atmosphere for the rollout of the Antichrist and that New World Order Antichrist system. And they are doing a very good job of it, as we see how far disconnected so many American people are from the founding principles that made this country great, even to the extent that they have worked against the capitalist system and the constitution of laws that made this country great and free. They are trying to destroy those to bring us back into a place where we are more controllable, to the point where the government can step in and the New World Order can be rolled out and everybody must follow that system or face the consequences, which will be death. And we're not only fighting the political fight to keep Trump in office or to keep his agenda going or to keep the Constitution valid and the rule of law. This is a battle for our souls. Satan's objective is not to get a Democrat or a Republican in office in this country to carry out an agenda. Satan's goal is to kill, steal, and destroy, most specifically the battle of the souls. The soul is the only, that's the currency of everything. And right. We cannot let Satan have a foothold, especially with us Christians, by being caught up in all the daily minutiae of politics. But right. They'll use politics to get to that objective of, total control over a man to the point he can be reprogrammed to accepting a Luciferian agenda.
Exactly. Right, exactly. And the horror is, and this is Luciferian, they repeat it over and over again, they want a hive mind. They want to destroy every person's individual personality. So think of every person listening. Lucifer wants to make you a blank state so that you don't even know who you are. You're just part of this organic hive mind machine. And only Lucifer could devise such a diabolical plan for mankind. They say, the John Lennon song, Imagine There's a Heaven. That was the anthem of the New World Order. Those are total lies. The New World Order is going to give you eternity in a hive mind where you have no soul. You have no identity, no personality. The entire thing is a lie.
Paul, thank you. We've reached the end of the program.
And Paul McGuire.us.
Wow.
PaulMcGuire.us. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul. We're going to have you on again here in near future. This was a fantastic 2 hours, very in-depth intellectual discussion you don't hear anywhere else.
Pre-order Conquering the Matrix. I want to get that in there, too.
Yeah, pre-order that. Till next time, Paul. God bless you. Stay safe. We'll talk later.
God bless you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
That'll do it for us. And
thanks,
we
guys.
Will... Thank you, Paul.
Thanks.
We will be back next week. Keep your eye on Hagman Report and our YouTube channel. We will keep you updated as to what will be happening in the beginning of next week and throughout the end of it. Have a great weekend.